Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church. And now, on to this week's message.
Well, I remember when I was younger, living at home. I'm the oldest of three kids, and I'm the oldest by a fair margin. My younger brother, he's 6 years younger than me. My sister's 9 years younger than me. And so coming from a family where there's that kind of age gap, and then you have these small little siblings at home, I developed something that my parents liked to call oldest child syndrome. Now, what oldest child syndrome is in your little mind, you decide that really it's your job to be the parent. You know, if the parents aren't right there dealing with the situation right now, then you need to correct behavior and you need to tell people what they should be doing and stay on them and maybe even dole out a little bit of discipline, you know. And so I remember when I would do this with my brother and my sister, they would immediately just kind of give me this look and they would run and tell my parents. You know, Stephen's telling me to do stuff, or Stephen did this to me. And then I'd get in trouble when really they were the ones that were just horrible, horrible little children. You know, it wasn't me at all. Not me at all. The problem was is that I didn't have the authority in that moment to be able to actually do what I was doing. But then a glorious day happened. I turned 12 or 13 and suddenly my parents decided I was old enough to babysit. So you know, my parents, they decide, hey, we're going to go out today, and Stephen, glorious words, you're in charge. You're in charge. They gave me the authority over my children. And it was a wonderful thing. See, see, suddenly, when I had the authority, I could go and I could tell them to do something and they had to do it. I could get after them for something and they had to do it. It was wonderful. Now, admittedly, I had to answer to my parents when they got home still, so I did have to watch it a little bit. I couldn't go too crazy or anything like that. But no, in all seriousness, my brother and sister and I, we had lots of fun when we babysat. So much fun. I actually don't even remember most of the times that I babysat there, so things went well. But what I find is that when it comes to talking to people about Jesus, many of us feel like only some people have authority. You know, there's the parents that can go and tell people. They're specially gifted. People meet them and they go, wow, this person has a presence behind them and I gotta listen to them. And then we find ourselves often thinking, but that's not for me. You know, that's not for me. Yeah, Pastor Stephen, he can get up in front of people and he can tell people all about Jesus, but I don't know that I could do something like that. Or in another way, sometimes we feel like there's only authority that we have in certain situations. Have you been there? Like maybe you feel like if one of your friends is talking to you and your faith comes up, then you have the authority to talk about what you believe. But until that time, there's no authority and you just got to tiptoe around things and make sure no one discovers that you believe in Jesus. Because then they might look down on you, right? Then they might think to themselves that there's something wrong with you, that you're a crazy person, maybe. Whatever it is. The interesting thing, though, is the understanding that we have of the authority that we have been given or that we think we haven't been given flies in the face of what God tells us in the Bible. This idea that we don't have authority, this idea that we can't tell people about Jesus, that it's not for us, it's not our gifting, it's not our strength, or it's not our place. How many of you have heard that before? It's not my place. Today we're going to see that all Christians are sent by Jesus with God's authority to share the good news about Jesus in the world. And that ignoring that responsibility is really not an option that Jesus gives us. over the next few weeks as we talk about being sent people, about the way that Jesus has sent us, we're going to discover that every Christian is a minister, that every Christian has a ministry, and that no Christian is meant to be a spectator. I'm going to say that again, and as I do, I encourage you guys to put that up on the screen so people can write it down. Every Christian is a minister. Every Christian has a ministry, and no Christian is meant to be a spectator. Now, I know in our culture, many of us have fallen into this place where we like to think that church is a nice place we go to just get filled up, to get fed by our pastor and some people on the music team. And we come out of here going, rah, 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 we're ready for the week. But our role is just to sit and receive and just take it all in. But I truly believe that that does not follow the pattern we see in Scripture. I believe that God is very clear that every one of us is a minister, every one of us has a ministry, and that no Christian is meant to just sit back and passively take things in. We're meant to be involved. We're meant to be out there doing things for God, living for Him. We're going to pray in just a second here, but I'd encourage you, if you have a mobile device here with you today and you'd like to follow along with the things that we're reading and the things that we're saying and take notes, go to ascc.life and tap on the message notes tile there, and you'll be able to follow along with us. Right now, let's just talk to God for just a moment. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to learn about the authority that you have placed on us as we go to the places that we've been sent. And in these next few minutes, Lord, this next 20 or so minutes, will you just teach us, will you just ready us to receive what it is that you want to speak into our hearts, what you want to speak into our minds, and help us to hear those things and take them in. And Lord, I ask that we won't just simply take them at face value, but that we'll take them home and we'll do study for ourselves, that we'll challenge them, that we'll chew on them, and that you will bring us to an understanding of what you want us to know through it all. So Lord, today, take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak and make them something worthwhile through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Today I want to start off by reading what is possibly the most read passage on the topic of being sent, on the topic of ministry, of doing, of going, and that's found in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be reading verses 18 and 19. This is what we see here. Now, Jesus has died. He's risen again. He's spent time with his disciples on earth since that time, teaching them, preparing them, and just before he leaves, he says this: Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Now, what I find is that when we're talking about the Great Commission, we often start in verse 19. We start with, "Therefore, go." And so we find out that we've been sent. We find out there's this important task. We need to go and make disciples, and we need to baptize them and teach them and all these great things. But it can be tempting to feel powerless in the midst of this, because when we skip verse 18, we miss the importance and the ability to accomplish this feat. In verse 18, Jesus says that he has been given all authority in heaven and on earth. So he hasn't just been given heavenly authority as God, and he hasn't just been given earthly authority. And it's not that he has both, but only in certain segments of time, only certain places. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. Remember, Jesus, in his death and resurrection, is victorious over sin, death, and Satan. So Satan no longer has any kind of authority on earth over those who follow Jesus. And Jesus says, "I have all of this authority." And then what's the next word? "Therefore." Now, whenever you come to Scripture and you see something in a verse that you're starting with and it says "therefore," that is a signal that you should not start there. It is a signal that you need to read a little bit earlier. And what we see that Jesus, he gives this command, but he gives it after sharing with us that he has authority. So you are being sent to do these things by the one who has all authority. You're not being sent to do these things by someone that says, you know what, it might be a good idea for us to do these things. I bet you that would be a good way for people to find out about what Jesus has done, as if you just kind of told a few people. You want to do that? No, it's the one with all the authority saying, I've got it all and I'm telling you, do this. The one with the authority has authorized you as well to do what he has said. So it's not just that Jesus has sent us, but he has sent us in his authority and authorized us to go and do. And so if you sit there and you're thinking, no, I don't have the authority, I don't have the ability, you know, that's for someone else. What you're not recognizing is the one with all the authority has authorized you and commanded you to go. This idea of authority, the idea of being sent, it's also presented in another way in John's gospel, John chapter 20. Again, after the resurrection, Jesus appears to his disciples, and we see in verse 21, Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now, I want you all not to yet focus on that last verse that we read. I know that for me, I read this passage and I could just start going down this rabbit hole of opening up commentaries and prayer and going, wait a second, so if you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you don't forgive them, they're not forgiven. Let's back up a little bit. Let's start with first things first, okay? And let's talk about what we're looking at here as Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. One commentary said that the sending of the Son into the world is this constant theme that we see in Scripture. It's something that we need to recognize. Earlier in John, we're told that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What does that mean? It means that he sent him. Jesus time and time again talks about being sent. And this commentary mentioned that this reflects in measure Jewish authorization, that the principle that one who is sent is as he who sends him. I'm going to say that again because it's kind of a mouthful. One who is sent is as he who sends him. In other words, in the person of the Son, in his words and deeds, the Father himself is present. It's his declared word and his actions being performed as Jesus does them. Jesus has been sent by the Father, and therefore everything Jesus does is an action of the Father. And the time has now come for the disciples to go forth into the world as representatives of the Lord. Just as everything that Jesus did was representing the Father, now Jesus says, everything that you are now to go and do represents me. It represents me. This is a powerful truth. I know it may seem a little bit daunting at first, this idea, so everything that I do, it's going to represent Jesus? I don't know that I can do this. But let me just say, you've been sent to represent Jesus in word and deed. This is our goal. This is who we've been sent to be. Let me back this up a little bit, talk a little bit more about me and my babysitting days, because Murray really enjoys it, and so I'm going to talk about it a little bit more. Oh, he was the youngest. That explains so much, so much. Yes. When I would babysit, I represented my mom and dad with the ability to act as authorized on their behalf with the confidence that there was someone behind me backing it all up. Remember I said that if I wasn't babysitting, I would tell my brother and sister to do something and they would just go crying and telling my parents on me, right? Like me trying to get them in trouble for something turned into me getting in trouble. It just wasn't fair. But as soon as I was authorized, the whole paradigm shifted because I had been told, this is what you can do. And you're representing us in this situation. And so in that moment, I got to be mom and dad. I'm not going to let my son hear this one. He's got a little bit of this problem too. So, you know, yeah. Here's where the grace in the fact that we've been sent to represent Jesus in word and deed comes in. It's not about impressing people with who you are. Because for most of us, there's a lot of things in our lives that don't impress people very much. It's about showing and telling who Jesus is. When I babysat my brother and sister, it wasn't about me being like, well, I'm the oldest, you do it, because they'd be like, I don't care. It was about me saying, Mom and Dad put me in charge, and all of a sudden, whoop, that was the end of the discussion. It's not about impressing people with who you are. It's not about how good you are at something. It's not about how bad you are at something. It's about you being a representative of Jesus. It's about you going and being obedient. And so receiving Christ's authority on you, it shouldn't be something that you see as scary. Instead, it should be something that gives you confidence as you go in the way that you have been sent. We're all sent people. Now let me get back to some of these other things in the verse here. Remember, it gives you confidence, and I think it's so fitting that Jesus says, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Because this confidence that we receive, the authority of Jesus, it can give us peace. That Jesus didn't give us the command, therefore go, just saying, you're on your own now. But he says, have some peace because you're not in this by yourself. And this authority is so great. Jesus says, you can proclaim the forgiveness of Jesus purchased on the cross for those who accept the message of the gospel. And you can know that there is no forgiveness outside the acceptance of Jesus Christ crucified. That's the way that I take that last part there. It's not that you suddenly have this power where you're like, and you're forgiven, but you just made me mad. I don't like you very much, so you're not forgiven. That's not what I believe that Jesus was saying. I believe that Jesus was saying that he has given us the authority to know that his gospel truth is truly true, and therefore we can know that if someone accepts the gospel of Jesus, we can say, you, my friend, are forgiven. And when someone says, you know what, that's just not for me, our hearts can break for them knowing that they've not received forgiveness. But we have the authority to be able to proclaim this as we tell people the good news about Jesus. And as you're sent with authority, and as you have that confidence, and as you have that peace about going, you can also have a peace within you as you go out in obedience to God. I know there's times that I've been obedient to God and things didn't turn out the way that I expected them to. Like, have you ever had that happen? You had this feeling that you need to go and just tell someone something simple, maybe even like just Jesus loves you. And then maybe the person swears at you. Or maybe the person is like, oh yeah, I know that. Or oh yeah, I pray every day. And we can feel like, God, what was even the point of that? Why would you do that? And we get torn up inside. Maybe we start to feel like we were wrong, like we heard God wrong. And what I want to share with you is that when you are obedient to God, to his call in his authority, you can have peace knowing that you have been obedient and that the only true success in God's kingdom is obedience to God. Okay? And so if you feel like Jesus is telling you to tell someone else that he loves them, and you do it, then you've been successful, even if all you get in a human sense is the finger in return, because he had a plan either to do something in you or to do something in that person through what you said, even if it seems at that moment like it didn't work out that way. And so friends, this morning, are we content to just sit down and attend some services, hoping that something special is going to happen in us? Because I wager a guess that most of us are not, based on attendance. Based on the fact that statistics are telling us that the average person attends church one or two times a month. That tells me that people are no longer content to just attend some services and sit down and hope that something important is going to happen in their lives. We're prioritizing other things because we've been sitting for so long. We've been doing nothing for so long, just expecting to be fed and to receive and to feel so important and so special from this hour that we spend on a Sunday, that we've become disappointed and we feel more engaged with taking our kids to soccer practice than we do with actually coming together to worship Jesus together. And I believe it's because we've become spectators. We've become spectators. But there's an alternative. The alternative is, do we want to step with confidence into what Jesus has sent every one of us into? How has he sent you? See, we're not meant to sit, but to stand and serve Jesus. Every Christian is a minister. Every Christian has a ministry, and no Christian is meant to be a spectator. And so that creates a question that we must answer. How are we showing others Jesus? How are we showing others Jesus? You know, the thing that keeps me up at night sometimes is the idea that I'm going to have a conversation with one of my neighbors or someone that I'm on a volunteer board with or something like that, and they're going to find out that I'm a pastor after like 2 years of knowing them, or they're going to find out that I'm a Christian after 2 years of knowing them, 3 years of knowing them, and they're going to go, oh, I had no idea. That scares me. How are we showing others Jesus? How are we telling others about Jesus? Because sometimes if you don't tell people that you follow Jesus, they just think you're a really nice person, and it encourages them to just think that you know, if they try hard enough to be like you, that they're going to be good too. But the wonderful thing is, it's not about our looks. It's not about our eloquence. It's not about whether or not we have wealth. And here's one that, from conversations I've had with many of you, I know should be a great encouragement to you. It's not even about us having knowledge about deep spiritual things. It's not about us feeling like if they throw some crazy deep spiritual question at us that we can't answer it. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Did you know that people respect you saying, I don't know, let me get back to you on that? Instead, it's about being obedient and living for Jesus with authority. Jesus has given me authority. Let me tell you about what he's done in my life. You don't need to be afraid because he's with you. You are sent by him, and you're representing Jesus to them. And friends, now that we're here in 2019, the countdown is on. We're down to 2 years. 2 years to accomplish the vision that the leadership of this church feels that God has set before us, to see 600 people touched with the love of Jesus and 20 new, vibrant, fruitful believers in Jesus by the end of 2020. And if we think that that's going to happen just by us going, you know, if our church just gets awesome enough, people are just going to find out about it, and they're going to come to church, and they're going to find out about Jesus, and they're going to love him. No, that's not the way that this works. We reach 600 people with the love of Jesus by you all going out and showing the love of Jesus to people and telling them about Jesus. And we see 20 vibrant, fruitful believers in Jesus come to faith in him, not by us sitting down on a Sunday and the rest of the week just, you know, staying home or hanging out with our Christian friends, but it's by us actually going out and recognizing that we are sent people, sent with the authority of Jesus on our hearts, that we have a ministry, and that while we may not recognize what it is yet, as we faithfully obey the call of Jesus, as we study scripture, as we spend time in prayer, and we ask God, lead me into what it is that you want me to do, we will find that he's actually put you in positions already to share, to be, to do. So who do your neighbors, your coworkers, the people at the Walmart and the co-op grocery checkout aisle, who do the people at the hardware store, who does the person that you see at the post office, who do they see when they look at you? What I'd encourage you to do is recognize it's not about you, it's about Jesus. It's about his authority. It's about his strength. Step into your ministry with confidence. And if you're ready to do that, if you want to step into the ministry that I believe wholeheartedly that Jesus has given each and every person who follows him, then here's what I want you to do this week. I want you to take some time each day this week to ask Jesus to give you confidence in the authority that he has given you to make disciples. This is possibly the easiest action step I have ever given you guys. I'm not asking you to go out and tell people about Jesus yet. I'm not asking you to go out and spend an hour a day meditating on some passage in Scripture, asking the Holy Spirit to speak to you and show you the direction you should go. No, I'm saying take some time each day this week, 5 minutes if that's all you've got, and ask Jesus to give you confidence in the authority that he has given you to make disciples. Do that. And then come back next week when we talk more about being sent and what it means for us and how God has readied us for what's in store. Will you join me in praying this morning? Heavenly Father, you're awesome. You're awesome, Lord. I thank you that you didn't just send us after sending your son and go, well, I've done my part, it's up to them now, but that you have chosen to be partnered with us in the ministries that you give to us. I ask that you'll help us to recognize that the Christian walk isn't something about just us living our lives better, but it's actually about us receiving life from you and in community doing great things for you. Help us to represent you well. Show us the ministry that you have for each one of us, Lord God. Will you just give us a passion for you right now? Holy Spirit, fill each one of our hearts and lives today, I pray, so that we can be energized to go out in your strength and your ability and see the kingdom of God break into the dark places in this world and lives be changed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you're here today and as you hear about this message that Jesus has given you, as you heard me saying that Jesus has all this authority and that he's sharing us with us that authority to go and share the good news, and you heard me talk about Jesus dying on the cross and rising again, victorious over sin, death, and Satan, that there is the good news, that God never gave up on us, even though we abandoned him, even though we rejected him and really said, God, you're not good enough. What you've given me is not good enough. But that God kept on pursuing us, that he gave his son to us so that we can have life. And this is something he invites every single one of us into. He's inviting you. He invites me. And I just encourage you today that if you're ready to make a commitment to Jesus, to put your trust in him, that he is God, that he did die on that cross and rise again, and that in so doing you have been forgiven, that you have the hope of a future in heaven with God, and that God's Holy Spirit gives you life now, then I want to encourage you to pray a prayer with me today just to mark this occasion of your beginning of faith. And in this prayer, we're going to thank God for what he's done and commit our lives to him. And so will you just join me in prayer today? Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I deserve the consequence of my sin. But I trust in your Son, Jesus Christ, his work on the cross, and his resurrection, that through these, I am forgiven and made whole. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for saving me. Fill me with your Spirit and change my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If today you just prayed that prayer from your heart from the first time, I'd encourage you to look in the seat back in front of you for a blue card that says, I have decided, and just put down some information. Let us know the decision that you've made today. Or if you're online, you can go to ascc.life and tap on Get Connected and let us know that the decision that you've made there. We believe that this is not something that we're meant to do alone. That this is a decision that's meant to be lived out in community day by day. And we as the body of believers can help you forward in this. And so if you fill that out, we're going to get in contact with you and help place you with people that can help you learn more and more.